Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Instigators with Pauly D and Chris Kotsopoulos.
Oh, here we go.
That's a bunch of garbage.
And it's being proven right now.
Oh, absolutely. I was a staunch defender of that.
You know, if he doesn't stand on his head in the second period, we don't have a chance.
Save by Lundqvist. But Henrik, why not? That's a chance, and that's the reason why.
Fans are really, really knowledgeable on that, and I'm very impressed with that. That's anybody else but Alex Ovechkin. That's an automatic suspension.
With this specific player, if he doesn't get 10 games or more, it's a disgrace in the face of the NHL.
Oh, boy, do we got a show tonight. Welcome to the Instigators Hockey Show. I'm Pauly D. He's former NHL defenseman Chris Kotsopoulos. Of course, we're going to talk all things playoff matchups and breakdowns, the New York Rangers. We got a lot going on. Make sure you check out ChrisKotsopoulos.com. It's located in the link section of the show page. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And if you have a question or comment for the show, like to advertise with us, shoot us an email at theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. And if you need a website designer or page lift, Kotsy's Designs. Kotsy's Designs offers website and blog design, creation of logos, letter marks, advertisement flyers, and a lot more. For more details and contact information, go to kotsysdesigns.com or follow the link located in the link section of the show page. And, of course, a quick shout-out to Pasco County, I-9 Sports, an experience beyond the game. We have a ton to do. Obviously, we're going to cover all the teams currently in the playoffs. We'll talk about how they got there and what happened. And I know that my co-host is fired up about a lot of things NHL. So, as always, we will instigate some fun tonight. So, grab a beer, kick back. I will tell you there's a great possibility this show will be rated at least PG-13. So I'm sending out the warnings now. Anyway, as we always do, let's start with this date in hockey history. May 14th, 1996. Brett Hull had a goal and assist to become the Blues' all-time leading career playoff points, passing Bernie Federko, and had 101 playoff points. Blues lost 4-2 to the Wings in Game 6 of the Western Conference Semis. And May 14, 1985, Edmonton's Paul Coffey set an NHL playoff record for the most points by a defenseman in the game with 6 during a 10-5 win over Chicago and Northland's Coliseums for the Campbell Conference Finals. Coffey had a goal and 5 assists in that game. And May 14th, 1927, Montreal Canadiens donated the Vezina Memorial Trophy to the NHL in memory of George Vezina. The trophy was to be presented to the goaltender with the best goals against average. So that trophy's been around since 1927.
That's something I didn't know, Paulie. I knew the trophy was named after him, the old goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens, but I didn't know they donated it to the league, and that's how it started. You taught me something there today.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
I just thought
the NHL somewhere down the line just, you know, took something, you know, from one of the great goaltenders of the day, but to say the Montreal Canadiens actually donated, that's pretty awesome.
Pretty cool. So, first off, I would like to talk a little bit about, without you giving away too much, you know, you've been on and off the show with who is it, Scott Laughlin?
Yeah, XM Radio
on the power play.
Yeah, I was on the power play earlier today talking about the Rangers and their victory and what's coming up with Tampa. Scott's a good guy. He knows his hockey. It's a good show. He gets all kinds of guests on there, and I'm fortunate to get on there once in a while when he wants to talk Rangers hockey. I'm probably because I'm easy to get a hold of. But, you know, hey, I have a lot of fun with him. But I didn't divulge everything that I was going to talk about on our show tonight. So, yeah, we basically went back and forth about, you know, how the series went and what's coming up and basically what we're going to do tonight. But, no, I did not get into to the real intricate stuff that I want to talk about tonight. I just... You know, I'm a little disappointed in what I've been seeing in the National Hockey League these days, but I'm not sure is the time now or should I wait a few minutes?
No. It is definitely not time. What we are going to do, though, as promised, we're going to cover the playoffs, and obviously we're going to go out and we're going to talk about the finish-offs of round two. Let's go quick into the Chicago and Wild Series. That was a sweep by the Chicago Blackhawks. A lot to be said, though, here, Kotz. You know, looking back at the brackets, I'm not sure where I placed in this thing, but Chicago's a real deal, man.
I think we both ended up about four and four, I think, out of the first round. We were, like, batting 500.
The Blackhawks have really showed something here. I mean,
but I had the Blackhawks. You did. I know that. You didn't have the Blackhawks in the first round. I had them.
Well, all right.
You took Nashville. I remember. You took Nashville. Nashville.
They went through Nashville pretty quick. They went through Minnesota even quicker. You know, this is a team they haven't played a ton of games. In these playoffs. They took care of Nashville in what, five or six games?
I think it was five actually.
Yeah, and a sweep here. Nine games, you know, so pretty dangerous. Obviously they're going. You know, they're going on every cylinder. They're getting good goaltending. They're scoring goals. Patrick Kane is a beast. Along with Brad Richards is really contributing to what Patrick Kane's doing. And Corey Crawford had a 1.75 goals against average, so he was doing well.
And the other goaltender, what's his name, Daniels or Danielson? I can't remember. He played well for him, too. I think it was Daniels. He played well for him when Crawford wasn't in the lineup. They're running on all cylinders. And I did say, I think, when we made our picks that night that I kind of believe that the old dog still has some more tricks there in Chicago. Like, I think a lot of people are kind of talking over them, you know, with the Anaheims and all these, like, Nashville's out west and stuff like that. And I was saying, you know, I don't know, these guys still got the same key core to the team. I mean, they're all still there. Think about it. Sharp, Taze, Kane, Hossa, I mean, Keith and, you know, on the defense and, you know, the goaltender. And, you know, he's still got the same coach there, too, who I thought, you know, did a wonderful coaching job during the first series when he had the guts to pull his goaltender not once but twice in 3-0 games, remember? And and they came back to win those games. So he looks like a hero, you know, the coach, by saying, that's it, I've had enough of this crap, I'm pulling the goalie. You know, and it worked out both times. And like you said, going and beating Minnesota 4 straight, I would never have bet on that, but you know what? Chicago's playing tough hockey right now, and it's going to be interesting to see when they run into a big, giant monster of Anaheim, what kind of hockey they're going to play against them, because, you know, Anaheim's a big, fast team, a little bigger, I think, than Chicago overall in size, but, you know, the skill's definitely there in Chicago, so I think it's a good matchup.
Patrick Kane with 6 points. I am mistaken. They've played a total of 10 playoff games. That series
was six games with Nashville.
It was six games. Yeah, it was a 4-2 win there, and then obviously so. Still, I mean, not a lot of games. Anaheim the same thing. Anaheim going into talking about Anaheim. You know, they had
a little tougher time with Calgary. They had a little tougher time with Calgary than Chicago did with Minnesota.
Yeah.
I had to go to overtime to win that last game, and But, you know, again, one big monster squad.
Yeah. They've played the least amount of games. They've played 9 games. They've only lost one game. They lost one game to Calgary. They swept Winnipeg, and they lost one game to the Flames. So, I mean, Kotz, with these two teams as well-rested as they are, what do you expect in this first game? Do you expect to see rust? Do you expect to see a slow start? Or do you expect – how do you see the Chicago-Anaheim matchup?
Well, if you're Anaheim, I don't think you're gonna see a slow start. I mean, Chicago's gonna be fast right off the bat. They're a quick team. You know, they're not overly physical. Chicago's not a huge physical team. Like they have enough of it, but they're not like Washington was, like Anaheim is. I'm just giving you examples of teams that were really physical throughout the year.
Right.
They're capable of withstanding physical play, but they're not gonna run teams through the boards. And Anaheim's a team that they can play both ways. You know, they can run you through the boards, and they can skate with you too, because they're big and strong, and they got a lot of talent on that team. So I don't think there's going to be any rust at all, to be quite honest with you. I think, first of all, Anaheim, it's been a while since they've gone this far. You know what I mean, Paulie, to the conference final, since they won their one and only Stanley Cup a few years back, but. I think it's going to be a good series. I don't think this one's going to be easy for either club. I think it's probably going to go a minimum of 6, maybe 7 games, to be honest with you.
You know, Kotz, one of the things that surprised me with Anaheim is that, you know, not only Perry and Getzlaff are getting things done, but they're getting a lot of balanced scoring through that lineup. And, you know, I mean – there's talk that Corey Perry's hurt, but, I mean, still 8 points in the playoffs here. But they're getting a lot of other contributors scoring goals. So, and like you said, Chicago's not going to play that grind-it-out type style with them. They're a very quick, fast-paced team, got a lot of talent. They like to pass the puck. They like to hold on to the puck. And, you know, the other thing is, I mean, the goaltending in this matchup is a lot better than what people, you know, thought. I thought Anderson has been pretty good for Anaheim. I mean, obviously he's got to be good. He lost one game. I thought he's been real good. And, you know, you don't hear much about him. He's got 1 point. 7.6 goals against average, 9.26 save percentage. If I gotta pick one here, I don't know, man. I think
go ahead, pick your team. I'm gonna stick with Chicago, believe it or not. I think they're on a roll. I think they're, I stuck with them in the first round. I still think they got enough fight left in them. But go ahead, who you like?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna flip and I'm gonna go Anaheim. I like Anaheim in this series for a lot of different reasons, but I really do believe that this is going to be one hell of a matchup, and I just think, I think Chicago, you know, I don't want to say that Nashville wasn't a physical team, but I don't believe that they were the work that Anaheim's going to give them. And then, you know, same thing.
Oh, I agree with that.
Minnesota's not a physical team. You know, they're a fast-paced team.
Nashville and Minnesota were both more physical than Chicago was. But
right,
I agree with you. Anaheim's like probably the best physical team out there in the West, no question about it, if not the league, when it comes to a combination of talent and size. But
right.
You know, you were like kind of praising Anderson there, and rightfully so. But you know, who did he really face in the first round? That's an offensive juggernaut, Winnipeg.
Yeah, that's true.
Calgary,
yeah.
Come on, not, look who he's facing now.
Yeah,
it's Kane, it's Taze, it's Sharp, it's Hossa, and three or four other guys that I can't even think of right now. But Chicago's got like at least 6 to 7 weapons up front. And between Duncan Keith and Seabrook on the point, I mean, they're, he's going to face a little more offense than he saw the first two series. I can guarantee you that. All
no
night,
doubt.
Baby.
No doubt. I mean, you know, this is. I mean, I tell you what, I wouldn't put my money on it. But I just think the edge goes a little bit to Anaheim, Chicago. But you called it. You know. Chicago still got they still have a lot of that championship remnants, and that can be very scary no matter what. So this should be a great series, and you know I
understand where you're coming from. I'm just doing it to be the dick that I am once in a while. I'm going with the underdog. I think Chicago's clearly the underdog in this series, but. I also think Paulie, I'm putting it in perspective here. You don't think that Joel Quenneville and those guys that have been there for the two Stanley Cups don't want to really, really etch their names in stone as a dynasty?
Right.
This is their crowning moment. If they could, they turn around and tell everybody they won three Stanley Cups in 4 years. I mean, you're right up there with the Oilers, pretty close with the Islanders. You know what I mean? And you're
right.
Still a little bit away from the 70s Montreal Canadiens, but you know what I'm trying to say here. This will solidify their team as one of the top historic teams over this decade. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, no doubt, exactly.
That's what they're thinking.
Yeah, there's a lot of pedigree here. I mean, again, I wouldn't put my money on it. Let me tell you, I would not put my money on it, but. I think it's going to be a real fun series to watch as a non-fan of either one of these teams. You know, unlike when you're a fan of a team, it's really not fun to watch. It's like, oh my God, just win it. So now I can smile. I tell you what, I think this has been one half.
Listen, are you going to stay up late to watch these games, or are you going to go to bed? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to. You know, I'm definitely going to record these games, no doubt about it.
They'll cut you a break. They'll probably start the games in Anaheim at, like, you know, 8 o'clock our time, 5 o'clock their time.
Right.
Get the national audience watching it, so.
The other question I wanted to ask you, Paulie,
the great Michael Roosevelt, who's going to replace him?
You know, funny you say that. Michael Roosevelt did a lot for the Chicago team, man. You know, eats a lot of minutes, kills power plays, strong along the boards. They're gonna miss him. You know.
Did you see the way he broke his ankle? Like, I'm trying to figure it out. What was he doing there? I mean, it's like, I don't know what he was doing. Skating backwards, and all of a sudden it's just like, you know, the foot kind of did a little swivel. The next thing you know, crunch. Down he goes. I mean, nobody was pushing him. Nobody was skating after him. Nobody tacked him. He just, I guess, he must have hit a rut in the ice or something like that.
Yeah. Well, Kotz, I mean, you, former player, I mean, if somebody can evaluate that, it would be you. I mean,
I'll be quite honest with you. I don't think I've ever seen anybody snap their ankle like that in my whole life when it comes to hockey. Without
you
being
think-
pushed, shoved, tripped, hammered. Punched in
do
the head,
think,
something. You know what I mean?
Kotz, do you think that maybe something else happened and then that was just a finisher, or?
I think it was like he hit the unlucky lotto. That's what he hit. It's just a freak accident.
I mean, he's done, so they're going to have to see, you know, they got some players to fill some shoes, but, again, great pedigree there. This should be one dynamic matchup with the Blackhawks and the Ducks. And, yes, I am going to be recording every one of those games because I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And on the flip side of that, I mean, Anaheim's got a lot to prove. Corey Perry, Ryan Getzlaf, I mean, you know, they've been one of the top seeds for, you know, a long time now. And, you know, to get knocked out and get beaten. I mean, what happened to them last year? Didn't they get, I mean, It was the Kings that
beat them.
Well,
they lost to Los Angeles, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost to Los Angeles when they were up.
And
I think
three
they were
games
up two
to
games.
None.
No, they were down. They were down two, then got up three games to two, and then lost it. I think in seven games.
Yeah. So again, it's going to be a lot of fun, and you know, I'm going to pick Anaheim. Kachi's going to pick Chicago. There's no doubt this thing could go either way. No doubt at all. And like I said, the thing with Anaheim too is they are getting some balanced scoring, and on the other side, I mean, if there's a team out there that is stacked with goal scoring, it's got to be the Chicago Blackhawks. So we'll see. Let's move on to and then we're going to get serious. But
I just heard a jet fly over my house. Is it heading over to the World Championships? I think Ovechkin might be on it.
Oh, to get his golden.
What do you call it? Golden, the chocolate gold medal. He's rushing over there. He's getting. They got a private jet, I guess, and just flew over my house. So, get him over there.
He can put that in his trophy case.
He can put that in his trophy case.
All summer long, baby. All summer long.
Exactly.
Oh boy, that was great. If you haven't checked out Kachi's Facebook page, you need to do so. I actually put it on my Facebook page, and we'll talk about it, but you need to check that out. Let's move on to the other series, the Habs and the Lightning. Let's do this first. Round one, you know, we talked.
Let's go right to the Habs and the Lightning. How that series turned out.
I know how you feel about the Canadiens. I think Ottawa really gave them a run for the money.
Ottawa could have easily won that series. As far as I'm concerned, they won. They were winning the games minutes wise more than Montreal by a mile. So,
yeah.
But you know, Carey Price was just too damn good. I think in that series, that's the bottom line. There, he kept his team in it, and you know, and Ottawa gave it a good try. But you know, Montreal, I mean, I didn't fear them this much this year, like everybody else was fearing them. I for some reason I'm looking at that team, and it's Carey Price, and yeah, it's Subban, and. And it's Pacioretty, but after that, there's really not much there when it comes to offensive firepower, as far as I'm concerned. There's nobody there that really stands out. You know what I mean? They had a great regular season, no question about it. But I challenge anybody other than a Montreal Canadian fan to name anybody after that. You know, after the three guys I just mentioned down here, nobody would know anybody. What, Gallagher maybe? And then Dale Weiss, you know, scored a couple of goals out of nowhere. I mean, come on.
Yep. And it goes into the question I was going to say. You know, I think Montreal was fortunate to get out of that Ottawa series. But you know what? Here's where my question is going to lead. So Tampa goes up 3-0 on them. And then... Montreal found a way to make this thing at least interesting. It didn't turn to be a Tampa Bay, you know, sweep or walk in the park. They went 2 in a row, won pretty good. How does that fare for a team like Tampa, where you got a stranglehold on and this team comes back? Is it just a momentum type of thing?
This is not the Edmonton Oilers or the New York Islanders or the Chicago Blackhawks for that matter. It's the Tampa Bay Lightning who are still in a growing pattern, Paulie. Getting up 3-0 and stuff like that. They've never been there before until, 2003, 2004 with Marty St. Louis and Boyle and all those guys on that team when your favorite coach won. you know, that's the last time they've had any kind of experience like this. So, you know, when they went home for that fourth game and lost it, and, you know, had to go back to Montreal and stuff, I mean, I was a little surprised at the score that night. Montreal put six goals in the net, but, you know, I it didn't surprise me that Montreal would win that game. You know, Tampa's got to learn. You know, they're still in a growing process, Paulie. They haven't experienced anything like that before. You know, when they lost the game up in Montreal too, they tied it up. With about 10 minutes to go in that third period, and then Steven Stamkos just made a horrible, horrible play for that goal by Parento. I mean, he just backhanded the puck on a pass where there's nobody there, and that you know created that goal, that opportunity for Parento to score. Oh, it was an awful play by him, right? Let's face it. I mean, even great players make bad plays once in a while, and, you know, I'm not going to knock him for it, but he basically cost him the game that night, I thought. I mean, he just tied it up, could have taken it to overtime, whatever. But anyhow, and then they came back and they took care of business. I mean, this is a learning process for these guys. You know, having guys like Callahan and Boyle and Strawman and a few other veterans on that team, it obviously is going to help them through, you know. But, yeah. Sure, they would have loved to have finished it four straight, but you know what, Paul? Like I said, growing pains for them.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the other thing, and I didn't watch.
And here's, oh, let before you get going, and the Montreal Canadiens probably got death threats, so they don't come home unless you win a game. So.
you know what, though, Cots? I mean, I will say the huge advantage for Tampa Bay in this series was that they capitalized the hell out of the power play. I mean, they scored a lot of power play goals. Their power play made the difference in this series. Now, I didn't watch much of the first series against Detroit, but again, Detroit was supposed to be what everybody thought was supposed to be a walk in the park for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's not forget that they were the league-leading team in goals. I mean, they were the best offensive team in the game. And they really capitalized on their power play that really brought them through this series, because I thought five-on-five play, you know, I thought Montreal gave them a run, and there was a lot of times, a lot of games that, you know, they were outshot, outplayed, outcycled, but still lost the game. So, and it was the power play that did it. Interesting enough, they pull it out. It's all said and done. Callahan goes in for an abdectomy, and I guess he's going to be ready to go for the next round.
Well, it's a hockey player.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, it's a hockey
player.
Come on, it's not one of them other sports guys. Come on, think about it.
No doubt. And
they cut his belly open like the Carver whale's gut, and he's out there. He's on the ice 3 days later, Paulie. Figure it out.
It's a good thing that bad boy didn't rupture on him. But,
no doubt.
He's
just,
a hockey
I'm just
player.
Saying, you know, he just got his belly cut, and he's out on the ice skating in 3 days. Come on.
No doubt. So let's have some fun now. The final series we're going to talk about, and then we'll move forward. The New York Rangers and the Washington Capitals. And there's a lot to be said in this series that just transpired as of late last night. Cots, I mean, what do you say? Let me start by saying this. I will be the first one to tell you, well, you know, behind closed doors, you and I spoke, and we didn't like the matchup. Honestly.
I didn't like the matchup. You thought they would be easy at one time, remember?
Well, I tell you what.
You weren't afraid of their physicality. You weren't afraid of all that stuff. I said from months ago that that's the team I'm worried about the most that the Rangers had to face.
Right.
And
they're
somehow
a big, heavy team.
Oh, boy, are they ever. Are they ever.
They're a big, heavy team, and I told you what I wasn't afraid of was the one thing that became a real factor in this series was Braden Holtby.
Holtby. And he you know what?
Yeah.
That's his coming out party. You know that, right?
Yeah, hells yeah it was, because in the past, I mean, the Rangers had them this series, okay, throughout the regular season. And Holtby has never showed any signs of being a genius in net. In this series, he sure the hell was. He was fantastic at times. Rangers go down 3-1 in this series, Kotz. I mean, there was a lot to be said. And I tell you what, you know, I was the first one to say, damn it, Kotz, he was right. I can't believe this. And actually, you know, I have a lot of great comments, but my most derogatory comment was, I was like, I can't believe right now, Holtby, at that point, was better than Lundqvist. Obviously, because he kept winning games. Now, the Rangers have played how many playoff games with a one-goal difference since? And, you know, believe me, everyone, before anybody thinks anything negative, I've always been a Lundqvist fan. I always will be a Lundqvist fan. And I'm one of many that will stand up here and tell you he is the reason that the Rangers do what they do for the last several years and beyond. But at that point, when it was 3-1, I said, you know, unfortunately, Holtby's just a little bit better than Hank, and the Rangers, I really didn't think they were going to come out of this thing. I didn't think they were going to see the light of day. I thought it once it was 3-1, and I know you felt the same way because you said it to me. It wasn't looking good.
No, it wasn't looking good, but, you know, I was at the Ranger Hockey House on the Sunday, I think it was, a Friday, that they were at home for Game 5, and I was being interviewed, you know, by, Kenny Albert and I were being interviewed by the audience there, and somebody asked me something about it. I said, look, it doesn't look good, but if you really want to be positive about it, here's how the Rangers have to think, I said, you know. If they could steal this one tonight, and they can go into Washington and steal that game, technically, they would have had 2 out of the last 3 games at home. And it worked out that way for them. I mean, and I would totally agree with you, Paulie, about Holtby. Holtby, listen, Holtby's got nothing to be ashamed of. He played fantastic. Okay? Yeah. Lundqvist played fantastic. It was probably like, you know, I think people are gonna gloss over it just a little bit. But when you really look at it, probably one of the best goaltending duels, you know, the NHL's had in a long time.
Right.
You know, think about it. 7 games, no high-scoring games, I think, except for one. I mean, most games are decided by 1 goal. I don't think any game got higher than 4 goals, and that was the 4-3 loss that the Rangers beat them in Game 5. Or is it Game 6? Sorry, Game 6. And you look at their goals against average. Lundqvist is like down to 1.60, and I think he's pretty close right there. Holtby, the same thing. So, that's Holtby's coming out party. But in the end, the King got him. You know, it's like I tell you all the time, what Grant Fuhr says. You know, as long as the other guy down the other end lets one in more than me, I'm good with that. And that's what happened in Game 7. You know, the Rangers, and the Rangers deep down, you know, Paulie, you know, you got to admire them. I mean, down 3-1. They've been in this situation before. Somehow, some way, you know, that team believes in each other. They don't let anything distract them, all the outside crap that, you know, the bullshit that you and I might talk about or fans might talk about or pundits and all these experts on, you know, all these hockey shows and stuff like that. They don't let any of that crap bother them at all. You know, I do notice from being around them a little bit. You know what I mean? They don't give a shit about that stuff. This is where you put your women and children, go to bed now if you don't want to hear any swearing because it's coming soon. I mean, you got to admire them. You got to admire them. They're a true sense of what the word team means because they did not get ultimate performances out of a lot of players. From Yandel to Boyle, you know, Rick Nash played hard, played good, but when I talk about performances, the productivity, Marty St. Louis was insignificant as far as I'm concerned, you know what I mean? And yet, it didn't bother them. They still went out as a team and won. You know what I mean? And I don't see any petty, BS on the bench, or one guy's mad at the other because I'm not playing, or, you know, this guy's not playing. If you, and here, you know, this is the one thing I want you to hear, because I know how you are with Elaine Vigneault, and I've always given you a little bit of a ride on him. I still think he needs to prove a little bit more to me before I consider him a great coach. But last night, he's starting to win me over. Because if you take a look in that third period last night and in overtime, he benched some pretty significant players. And he went with the guys that were going. Instead of Marty St. Louis, he went with the Foss and the JT Millers and the Hayes. Instead of putting Yandle only played like 3 minutes, I think, in the third period last night or something like that. You know what I mean? So he rolled 4-4 defensive for most of the last half of that third period. And throughout overtime. And to me, that's a coach that understands that you can manipulate your bench as to who's going and not, you know, go with the same tried and true, you know. And I was actually impressed with that last night.
Right.
That's what I got to say about the team and the game. I mean, you know, if you want to add to it, go ahead, because I got a few more things I want to say about that series. And
yeah, we're going to get into the nasty quickly here, but there are a couple of key things I do want to say. And, you know, I don't want people to think that I'm negative. I mean, I'm a New York Ranger diehard fan. I love this team. I watch them intently. And, you know, I'm pretty sure I know the game pretty damn good. I've been around the game my whole life. You know, I know the game. I tell you, one turning point for me last night, and, you know, I know a lot of people aren't going to like what I'm going to say, but I am going to say it. One turning point for me last night, I was very disappointed in Rick Nash not scoring on that breakaway. Now, it's a 1-0 game. Ovechkin comes up, scores a goal. It's a 1-0 game. Game 7. He has a clear-cut breakaway. Now, the guy scored 42 goals this year. He doesn't score on that breakaway. And I'm like, oh, my God. I hope him not scoring here. I mean, that's where game changers come up, I believe, Kotz. That's where a champion comes through. That's where so many things I looked at that and I said, and I might have overanalyzed it, and I said, stuff like that scares me. Because a good, confident, champion-type guy is going to score there and make a difference. Nothing happened there. Marty St. Louis, like you said, AV benched him. I thought he was horrible last night. I thought he's been insignificant throughout the playoffs. And it just seems to me like he's so indecisive. Like, for as much as he's been around the game, as many goals as this guy has scored, as many assists as he's been, you know, I mean, this guy, he's not just any Tom, Nick, and Harry. This guy's going Hall of Fame, I believe. This guy has scored some goals. He's won the Rocket Richard. He's done a lot of good things. He just seems very indecisive, hasn't made a decision, doesn't know what he's doing out there, has made bad decisions. Despite of all of that, this team has still found a way to win games. That's very impressive. Because honestly, if you look at it, these are your two top guys. These are the guys who are supposed to be scoring. These are your Ovechkins on this team. These are your Corey Perrys and your Getzlaffs on this team. These are your top guys. These are your Pacioretty's. These are your Canes. These are your top guys, your money guys who should be scoring goals, who really, in many ways, offensively, have been completely insignificant, and yet this team has found ways to win. And it was funny because it was recognized for the first time in a long while. If you haven't realized, the Stepan line through the playoffs here have been really the number one line with Chris Kreider going. Hank, obviously, so many people talk, and I still don't understand why people have the audacity to talk about Henrik Lundqvist listen, Talbot was great, did a lot of great things for the New York Rangers this year. This team's identity is hung on this man's hat night after night, every night. And if you're a true Ranger fan, a hockey fan, and know anything about goaltending, this guy has been as solid as somebody could be for their team. He gives them a chance every single night. And I am so tired of hearing the naysayers with this guy. Last and not least, we can get into some of the nastiness, but one thing that scares me.
I want a little rebuttal on some of your stuff there. I think you are slightly overanalyzing on Rick Nash. I understand what you're talking about. I felt the same thing on the breakaway goal, but you know what? Sometimes you got to give credit to the goaltender. Let's face it, Holtby was great this series, and he wasn't the only one that didn't score when they were supposed to. It's not just Nash. It's not just Marty St. Louis. There's a lot of guys that didn't pull their weight in this series, but the Rangers did. Like, I will agree with you on your second part. They find a way to win. If this guy's not scoring, that guy's going to score. If this guy's not scoring, that guy's going to score. You know, and that's the good part about their team. But I will tell you this about Marty St. Louis, and I think, Paulie, you know, indecisive, I don't know if I agree with that. I think his legs are gone. I think it finally hit him. He was so much quicker last year when he with the puck. I see him get the puck down the board sometimes now, and he's getting chased by a forward, and that forward catches him. You never used to see that. He's getting caught now. He doesn't have that fourth gear anymore, Paulie. And he's hit that wall. He's hit that. Man, Jesus Christ, the guy's 40 years old. I've always told you though. The great skaters will skate forever, and then eventually it hits them like the China wall right in their face. He's made it to 40, man. Think about it. And it was all because of his speed. He doesn't have that gear anymore. And that's why it looks like he's indecisive, Paulie. It really does. He doesn't have that Jexter jump anymore, which gave him an advantage. He just doesn't have it. He has the smarts. He can still shoot. But he's going to have to understand now that, you know, the speed ain't there. So I got to be in position now rather than I can make up for it with my speed type attitude, because the speed's gone. I don't care what anybody tells me. I see it. Lundqvist, come on. Let's face it. Lundqvist has been the rock of this team for 9 years now, okay? Anybody, like, I agree with you. Anybody wants to nitpick about this, nitpick about that? You know, goaltenders make mistakes too, but in general, there would be no run from the New York Rangers last year, 4 years ago with Tortorella if it wasn't out for Lundqvist. You know what I mean? And this year. Everybody thought, you know, listen, Talbot has earned himself a shot at being a number one goaltender, but unfortunately it's not going to be here as long as Henrik's around. That's the bottom line.
Right. Last but not least, in some of my thoughts here, you know, Katsu, well, go back to Marty St. Louis. I agree with you. I don't believe the speed's there, but I still feel that he's been very indecisive. He's not shooting. He's making bad decisions. His passings isn't there. His whole game seems to have fallen down.
It's all because the speed's gone, Paulie. That was his biggest advantage. His advantage wasn't his stick handling and his shooting and his body being 6'4". His advantage was he was outspeeding people.
Yeah.
He was like one of the fastest guys in the league in his prime. And up to last year, he still looked like he had a lot of speed. But this year, I'm sorry, he's hit that wall where, you know what, it's close to packing it in time. I mean, I hate to say it, unless you want to draw it out like Chris Chelios did, you know, because it happened to Chelios too a lot earlier than everybody believes. Everybody thinks, oh, he looked great. He didn't look great his last 6 years. He played on a great team that hit it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is not that as talented a team as those Detroit teams were.
Yeah.
You know that.
What do you think power play cuts?
oh,
beforehand.
Last night, I thought there was these Rangers had an opportunity. So Rick Nash gets a breakaway, misses. The team goes on to get three consecutive power plays. Finally, on the last one, they convert late. It was the third one where Hayes scored.
Well, the Hayes goal was a power play goal.
Yes, and I believe it was on the third consecutive.
It was not because of a setup. It was actually because of they got across the line and didn't actually set up in their five man power play setup. They crossed the line, made a couple passes. He went to the net. Blah blah blah. But my biggest problem again is the same problem we've been talking about for who knows how long as a Ranger fan and watching the Rangers. Shoot the damn puck.
Right.
Is it to shoot the puck when you have a clear lane instead of over faking it? We got to make another pass.
Yeah.
That's what these guys do. Yeah.
Score the garbage goal, man.
You take a look. Let me ask you a question. The great eight or ape or whatever they call him, what does he do with the puck when he's on the power play?
That's all he does.
What does he do?
Yeah.
Hey, shoot. Exactly.
Call him the grape ape.
I don't know what they call him. They call him something.
I love it.
Let me ask you a question. Like, is there anybody that you can guarantee that you can? Okay, guarantees again. We're gonna go to guarantees here. I can guarantee there's not one player on the Ranger power play that is in a shoot mode like Ovechkin is.
Right. Right. And
PK Subban, PK Subban, all he wants to do is pound the biscuit.
Yep. Shoot the puck and get the rebound.
Yeah. And we got guys that want to wait one more second so their defense can get in the shooting lane, the goalie can get set up. Then we can try passing it through the slot to the far side guy where there's sticks in the way that it gets deflected. I don't know. I'm just so sick.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of fighting and thinking about it. And, you know, it's not that hard. I mean, I understand they block more shots today than we did in my day. And I understand they block shots, like, you know, really good these days, too. I mean, it's a shot-blocking league now because of the plexiglass. They have no fear and all that stuff. But it doesn't take a hard shot to score a goal. You know, Chris Kreider's tying goal at Madison Square Garden that night before the overtime. I mean, he scored from about 10 feet inside the blue line, Paulie. That should never happen to a goaltender. You want to know why it scored? Because there was traffic in front of the net. A Washington player and a Ranger skating through. Hope he did not see it.
Right.
Just get the puck on goal. But I still think, and I've told you this privately, and I've done it on the show, I still think Chris Kreider should be the man in front of the net, and Rick Nash should be on the side of the hash marks. I don't know who's in charge. I hear it's Scott Arneil, but Elaine Vigneault has the final say on that one. I think that's not a smart move. I said that to you last year in the playoffs, and I'm saying it to you again.
Right.
Not a smart move.
Right.
Kreider's a beast. Nobody can move him. You can't move Chris Kreider if he don't want to be moved. You know what I mean?
I know. I know. Good stuff. He is. And here are the five reasons why the Rangers advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I would say that I agree with all five of them. The number one reason, Henrik Lundqvist. Number two reason, Chris Kreider and Jesper Fast. Number three reason, containing Alex Ovechkin. Number four reason, penalty kill. Number five, resiliency. I think we've covered every one of those topics.
You know what that sounds like to me right there?
What's that?
You're talking a little John Tortorella hockey there, aren't you? Oh, think about the scores in the game. Think about the penalty killing and the resilience.
Well,
this isn't the high-flying Elaine Vigneault up and down game that they wanted. It never happened. Both teams played great defensively. Both teams played pretty good defensively.
They did. I tell you what was very impressive to me, and it is very much part of the speed game. The Rangers cycled very good in this series, and when they did, they caught Washington and they got great chances. Now, with that being said, though, Cox, Chris Kreider has been a force to be reckoned with. This kid's scoring ugly goals, tough in your face, driving the net. And, you know, that is something that I'm so happy to see. He goes to the net hard. He scored big goals in this. He scored game-winning goals. He scored the first goal. You know, he scored power play goal. This kid has done everything this kid can do to help this New York Ranger team. Now, I agree with you in this series and in the last series, the containment, you know, defensively, both teams that they played, you know, decided to play smart defensively against the Rangers weren't going to allow them to be as open as they would like to be. But again, the Rangers are winning in spite of those things. And, you know, Rick Nash, 42 goals, you know, during the regular season.
He's, you know, again, I understand. I think what Ranger fans would like to see is 7 goals and 2 assists instead of 2 goals and 7 assists. Seven assists. I think that's what they'd like to see. But it still comes out to 2 goals and 5 assists. I don't know what he's got. I think he's got like 7 points in 12 games. That's what it is. But if he had 5 goals and 2 assists, everybody keep quiet. But it's 2 and 5. So, listen, I understand. I understand, you know, with what they pay the guy and what he's there for and all that stuff. I mean, that it carries a big weight, you know, and you got to come through. It's not just him, though. You know, there's a reason why Kreider was picked by the Rangers. You know what I mean? They somewhere down the line, this is exactly what they envisioned. So, Chris Kreider, if you can surpass Rick Nash, be my guest. You know what I mean? Be the man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Kevin Hayes, right. If you can pass all the other sentiment on this team, which I think he will do at one time or another, go ahead. Be my guest. You know what I mean? As a Ranger analyst, fan, whatever you want to call me, this is what I'm looking for, because when you look at the team going in to the playoffs, yeah, it's Rick Nash, and there's not much else when it comes to the goal scoring department.
Right.
Take a look at the stats.
Yeah.
There wasn't a guy that scored 30 goals. There wasn't another guy that scored 25 goals.
Yeah. No.
So look at Anaheim. Go look at Anaheim. Go down their list, 1, 2, 3. Go look at Chicago, 1, 2, 3. You know what I mean? Go look at Tampa, 1, 2, 3. You know what I'm saying? So I'm more than happy to see all this stuff happen.
Well, again, resiliency is huge here. And guys like Kreider stepping up into the holes. Before we move into some of the other things that we definitely want to cover and talk about, the last thing I do want to discuss, because I stand firm with this, Keith Yandle has not worked out for these New York Rangers. Now,
oh, I agree.
His game
is very shaky.
Yes, and that's what I was going to ask you. As a former defenseman, when you watch Keith Yandle play, what are some of the things that you can pick up? You know, what can you pick up, Kotz, that just – because when I watch him play, he makes me very nervous. I mean, he just seems very indecisive. He seems to cough the puck up. He seems to be on the wrong side of the body half the time, on the wrong side of the shot, always out of position, scrambling. You know, just – he scares me when he's on the ice. Now, this is a guy who – the Rangers went out hard to pick up for his points production. As a former defenseman, if you could evaluate him and look at him, and you could sit in a room with him and say, hey, Keith, what the hell's going on? This is what I see. What would you say to him? How would you address it?
Well, I first thing I'd tell him is just to settle down and relax. I mean, it seems like he's gripping the stick a little too – gripping the stick a little too tight there. I think he realized the – you know, how much they gave up for him. He's coming to the big city. He hasn't played in the big city. He's been out there in Phoenix for a long time, and where, you know, one or two reporters might criticize him, but the whole town's going to criticize you here. You know what I mean? You got to remember where he came from. He came from what the NHL wants to call a hockey town, but it's not really a hockey town. So, not much pressure there, you know, when it comes to the outside interest, you know, what people think about you. But yeah, I would sit him down and say, look, you know, you're one of the best skaters on the defensive line right now. You are a good puck handler. Just stay confident in yourself. But I think right now he's gripping the stick too tight. I think he has the weight of the world on him because of that trade to start with. And probably lacks a little confidence right now, which, you know, does happen to players, Paul. It happens to all of them. It happens to the great ones, you know, even the good ones at one time or another. You know, lose it and go through tough times, and then they have to snap themselves out of it. But, you know, to me, a confident player is also an arrogant player. But the arrogance doesn't show from the outside. It's from the inside, where you're talking to yourself like, I'll show these MFs, you know, I'll show everybody, you know what I mean? Yeah, you may think that, but I'm going to show you. You're saying this to yourself inside, you know what I mean? That's all I tell them. I tell them to settle down. Listen, despite everything, okay, good trade, bad trade, Boyle slowing down, Marty St. Louis not being Marty St. Louis, Rick Nash not producing like he should. I can name other guys on the team, too, but I'm sure, you know, they're still winning. Have they put a perfect game together yet, Paulie, in the playoffs? I don't think so. They played some great games. But the perfect Ranger game? No, I haven't seen that yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? And yet they're winning.
Right.
So, you know, like let's not put a pin in the balloon here or break up the dream. Let's, if this hour shakes out and rattles, who cares? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. Listen, I'm excited for him. I just, you know, I wanted that insight.
The guy's a great skater. He is a good, Paul, he's a great player. He is a really, trust me, if he was the one, the Yandle that we've seen, that I've seen play once in a while in Phoenix in the playoffs over the last 5-6 years, he's a good player. But I think right now his confidence is shaken, and I think he's gripping the stick a little too tight, trying to overdo it. I just tell him, look, settle down and be the guy that you are. You know, forget all the bullshit, forget all the crap that you hear. Just go and play. You know.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just got to play your way through it. You know, and you know that's just the way it works. Ain't nobody gonna do it for him, Paulie. You know what I mean? You got to do it yourself.
Right. Amen to that. All right. Tatsy, let's get into some controversy. First and foremost, I'm looking on the NHL website. You know what I don't see? I don't see any talk about reviewing, looking at, consulting to, league rule, the headshot rule. And it's funny because I thought the principal point of contact last night on Brian, on Dan Boyle's head, was Bruce Orpik's shoulder, high-flying shoulder right into the face, principal point of contact, and yet I see nothing on NHL.com or heard nothing about evaluating and looking at that. First of all, they missed it in a game last night, which could have been detrimental. It's a 7-game, okay? It should have been a 5-minute major according to today's rules. And I will say this, you and I will definitely agree upon this. I still believe the onus is on the puck carrier. I don't know what Boyle was thinking. I don't understand how he didn't see that coming from a mile out and not have the awareness. But it did happen. And the league rule does state principal point of contact should never be the head, which it was. That was a headshot, and I see nothing. Why don't you hit that real quick?
Well, yeah, I'm going to get going here on what I wanted to talk about mostly tonight. You know, the NHL should be embarrassed. I mean, the policies that they have in place and the rule changes that they've made, you know, has come to be just a total farce. Because, you know, I'll start with the Brooks Orpik hit last night. Not only did he do that to Boyle, he just missed Marty St. Louis like that earlier in the game, if you remember. Marty just got out of the way. It's a charge by the NHL rules. Both times, they're both charges. B, definitely a head hit. Like, if you're going to go by what you put in, your policies, the NHL, stop bullshitting people, okay? That's what they're doing. They're bullshitting people now. They put the rule in, and you're not going to live up to it? It's a head hit on Boyle, okay? And it's a charge. Would it be a charge and a head hit in my day? No. But this is the bullshit rules that you guys decide to put in. And I'm going to go off here. And you fucked up the game big time, okay? Because now referees are confused, players are confused. What's a bad hit? What's a good hit? And let's go to a previous game there in Washington when Ryan McDonagh got run from behind by you know who. Mr. the Great Ape or whatever his name is, was that not a charge? Was that not a boarding? Was that not a hit from behind from one of the dirtiest pricks that ever played the game? I love how people love to talk about the good Alex. It's always the good Alex. Wow, what a beast. What a skater. How strong. What a shot. Blah, 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 blah. How about we talk about the bad Alex? The dirty Alex, the cheap shot Alex. How come nobody ever wants to talk about that? You ever notice when he does do something that you know is controversial and everybody watching knows controversial that nobody on TV will call him out for it? This is the NHL's monster. They created this guy. They've created this guy, and he's hiding behind all the NHL policies, all the NHL rules, and you know what? It's embarrassing to watch as a former player. The guy's a dirty, cheap shot loser. And I'm never going to give him the time of day about how great he is. I'm sorry, people. You don't like it? Don't listen to our show anymore. We don't need you. The guy's a dirty prick. It's all there is to it, plain and simple. But here's what I'm really sorry about the most. Today's NHL players, you embarrass me. How long are you going to take the shit from this guy without making him pay? You turn your backs towards him, you cower away from him, and he just gloats and gleefully skates around and smashes your head constantly with cheap shots, slashing you, skating through your goaltender, telling your goaltender all night long, baby, you do nothing about it. He boards you, he throws elbows at you, he slashes at you, and yet you all don't do a damn thing. You should be embarrassed, and I'm calling you all out. You're all a bunch of chicken shits. How much longer do you need a guy to keep rubbing your face in the dirt before you react and do something about it?
All right.
And the NHL, like I said, you created this monster with your stupid rules. And getting away from picking on Ovechkin, once again, Paulie, how long have I been telling you that puck out of the building thing, when you shoot the puck over the glass, how stupid is that rule? Four idiots on the ice couldn't see that it hit the glass, and it almost cost the Rangers the game there in Game 6, didn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, because of this stupid rule that pertains to one-third of the ice, that rule, and a goaltender can't come out of the trapezoid there, whatever those lines are. What, are you kidding me? Goaltender's got skates. He's got a stick in his hand. Let him go where he wants.
I love it.
Really, what the hell? I mean, and you want us to buy this garbage? And you know what, Alex? Enjoy your trip to Russia, you piece of shit.
let me get involved here a little bit. You know,
I'm sick of. Oh, it's the good Alex. Whoa. Oh, and one more thing that's on my mind too. Now that I'm on a roll. Did you notice the tenor of the voices of the great Doc Emrick and the great Pierre Maguire and my ex teammate Eddie Olchuk when Stepan scored that goal and then NBC had to get off the air real quick? They went from a high pitch, high shrieking sound about how the game was going to right down to a low octave there because they weren't happy. I could tell they were not happy that the Rangers won. You know what? Screw you two guys too. How's that?
I love it.
Sick of it all.
I love it. I love
sick
it.
Sick of it all. It drives me nuts. And you know what? Any guys that think I'm wrong about it, you know what? You can go to hell too. I don't give a shit anymore.
Here's what I do want to say. I do want to say a few things. I do want to make some comments here. Alex Ovechkin, you know, Katsi has had his number for a long time. I think many people
Because I pegged him. I figured him out before everybody did. Everybody got him mesmerized and glowed with this guy.
Yeah.
That's why. I figured him out early.
He has the balls to come out. He's won nothing except for personal scoring titles.
Yeah.
He has the balls to come out and make a guarantee. And, I mean, I know athletes.
Which he's done before, by the way. You know that, eh? He's done that before, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Well. They guarantee you. You're going to guarantee a win. I just love that it just got stuck right in his face. And, you had a quote last night, all summer long, baby. If you missed it, if you didn't follow the series, if you're a fan of another team and just kind of grazed by, a lot of the things that, if you haven't played against this guy, your team, or whatever it is, you really just don't know. You just hear, like Patsy said, the good Alex. This guy's got the balls to skate past Henrik Lundqvist and talk shit and tell him he's going to score on him all series long.
All night long, baby, all night long. That was his line.
And there's 2 points here. First of all, athletes that aren't humble and good athletes usually need something like that. But more importantly, I think here, is what Kotze said about the players in the league. Now, personally, I will tell you this. Yes, I'm a little old-fashioned. When does it come to a point where your own pride steps in, your own love for your team steps in, manhood steps in, and it's like, I got to make this son of a bitch pay somehow, some way, whether it's after the play and you make sure you stick brakes over his back or just make him understand that you heard what he said. Make him understand that he will not stand in front of the net. He will not talk to your goaltender. He will not slash another player. He will not drive McDonough into the boards. He will not do these things. Where are the players, the current athletes, to stand up to this and make this son of a bitch pay? Here's the thing, guys. It's not only the NHL that allows him and created this monster. It's the players on the ice that don't take him to task. That's the serious problem here. That's
the new kind of athlete that we see. Yeah, I said that to you. I agree with you. I mean, I've been saying that for years. When's enough enough? But, again, here's what the NHL has done. You've created this monster because, no, you can't hit like that anymore. No, you can't. When's the last time you've seen a Scott Stevens hit from a defenseman where he backs up, forwards coming across the blue line, and then pow? When's the last time you've seen that?
Right.
Now, I know from my day, and I know I played against Scott Stevens, so I know all about him, too. I watched him at the end of his career. When Ovechkin does that down the left-hand side with his being a right-handed shot where he fakes outside and cuts to the middle, where's the Scott Stevens hit?
Right.
I want to see his helmet fly in the crowd. I want to see him picking up his chiclets off the ice.
Right.
That'll stop him from making that move. But nobody does it. It's like they're all scared. I'm sick of it. I don't give a shit anymore. I'll tell any modern day player right to your face. Go have an operation and grow some balls. I'm sick of it. I'm just totally sick of it. The guy skates around like he's Bobby Probert. He's no Bobby Probert, trust me. I know, personally.
All right.
Makes me absolutely sick. In the NHL, you're to blame. The players are to blame. And Ovechkin, you'll never get the time of day for me talking about what a great player you are. You're just a dirty, rotten, to me. He gets away with murder out there, and as long as the league loves him, you know, it's never going to change. But the players, boy, oh boy, you got some answering to do.
So, Kotz, here we go. Well, I love when we get into the rants, but we're running out of time here a little bit. Let's talk about the series at hand in front of the New York Rangers.
Yeah, well, it starts Saturday, 1 o'clock.
Tampa Bay Lightning, big, strong defense. They probably have, you know, they got some big guys. They got Garrison back there.
They're huge on the defense, but they're not overly physical, Paulie. They're not an overly physical defense, as big as they are.
Right.
They're not like Washington. Washington's defense is way more physical. They're not even that big compared to Tampa. So I'm not worried about that. I think you got to worry about obviously Tyler Johnson, who's made a name for himself really two out of the last 3 years. I looked him up. He scored 24 goals 3 years ago and 29 goals this year. Leads their team. They got to watch all the scoring. I mean, they got some scoring there, Paulie. Stamkos, Kucherov. I mean, Filippa, whatever his name is. I don't know, Filippa. They got a ton of guys there that can score goals. So the Rangers are going to have to buckle down and play. Once again, borderline Tortorella hockey, you know, when it comes to the defensive side of the puck. But that being said, I still think Rangers are one of the fastest teams in the league, and they got to use their speed. That's the bottom line. That's how they do it. That's how they win.
Goaltending matchup. I mean, you got to like Hank in this. you know, Bishop's been good. He's been good, but I wouldn't say that Bishop is something to be scared of. And you got to think, too, now, Tampa really didn't play offensive juggernauts, like you said. Montreal's definitely not an offensive juggernaut.
No.
And
but
you
they're
know,
not really
Detroit,
playing an offensive juggernaut this time either.
Well, I mean, the Rangers were third in the league.
The league stuff means nothing now. How many have they scored now in the last two series?
Yeah, but again, I don't see Tampa playing a defensive style game. I believe they're going to They're going to try and play their style game, which
is perfect. Which is perfect for the Rangers.
So, goaltending matchup, you got to give the advantage to Henrik Lundqvist. Power play, it's got to go to Tampa Bay. They have really done the job in the playoffs, power play wise. What about the X factors, Kotze? Guys like Callahan and Boyle and Strowman. We all know what Ryan Callahan brings. I mean, I think all of us know what Ryan Callahan brings here. He's going to bring a lot of guts, and I'm sure there's some personal business in this forum.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's never going to be spoken about. I'm sure all three of those guys are going to hold the Rangers really accountable for them leaving and not getting the deals that they wanted, and vice versa. You know, Marty St. Louis, you know, it's a chance for your guy, Paulie, right here, because you know there's not just bad blood, you know, leaving Tampa. He really can't stand Stevie Yzerman. You know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's a fact. Nobody wants to talk about that, that him and Yzerman did not leave on good terms.
Nope. Not at all.
So there's a lot of inside stories going on in this series coming up. No question about it. I agree with you. Lundqvist should get the edge, but boy, Bishop's like I don't know, he's like that one commercial they had years ago where they put that fat kid in golf. There's not much room to score by. I mean, remember that commercial? I mean,
I'm thinking about that.
You know, if I ever have advice for a team that needs goaltending, go look for a sumo wrestler that can stand up on skates. You know, like just stick them in there. And, you know, hey, if they squeeze one by him, they squeeze one by him. You know, but anyhow, no.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's like,
what, I think with Bishop,
six, seven.
It's probably that wide too. But I think with Bishop, the one thing you have to do is get him to go down on his knees. You know, get him down on his knees where there's a possibility of a rebound. You can't go high on him. You just can't go high on him. Right. You need rebound goals off of this guy, like where he's made the save, you know, gets caught out of position a little bit. You know what I mean? But,
right.
You know, in other words, keep it about a foot, maybe a foot and a half high max, and below that, your shots. That way he's either got to kick the leg out or he's got to go down and make the save. Because if you're making about knee high and higher, he's just gonna take it in the chest and glove it, blocker, and all that stuff there. So it'll be easy for him to make those saves. But I think the only way you beat him is you beat him down low on rebounds.
Do you think the Rangers' defense matches up good against this Tampa offense, Kotze?
Well, you know what? I always feel. I think I believe the Rangers' defense, they're all good players, but they're not mean players. So that's the biggest deficiency I see with them. Every time they get caught, like those two shifts in overtime last night, I mean, let's face it, I mean, you had a lot of tired guys out there, but there's no serious body contact going on when the Rangers get in trouble because it's just not the Rangers' style. But I think they'll be all right. I mean, I thought McDonough played his best game last night, even though he's the one who got caught on Ovechkin's goal. But I thought he played. He seemed assertive out there. You know what I mean? It was pushing the action when he got the puck. I think Mark Stahl needs to pick up his game just a little bit. I didn't think he played very well this last series. But he's a tried and true guy, and he's going to have to pick it up a little bit. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Boyle. I think Hudwick will probably be in, and I got no problem with that. But overall, yeah, I think they'll be able to handle them. I think they're going to have to get some help from their forwards, Paulie, because I know you don't want to admit it, but there is a certain element of John Tortorella style of hockey. When they win these games 2-1 and by one goal, Paulie, it's not all high-flying stuff. Those forwards are inside deep, picking up their men properly, and the defensemen are in the right position. That reminds me of John Tortorella hockey right there. Now, outside the blue line, maybe not, but inside, it's John Tortorella hockey still.
Well, I think that, you could say that, but I think every coach wants
it is.
I think every coach wants their team to be, responsible.
But not every coach gets that.
All season long, I think we have to back the fact that the Rangers have played, with five-man groups all over the ice. I mean,
that sounds similar to who? You don't want to admit it.
Well, that's a lot of coaches.
I'm not knocking him on this one. I'm just telling you, that was John Tortorella's style of hockey, and they're adapting to that, the same thing. He didn't. No. Elaine Vigneault didn't invent that. Neither did John Tortorella.
Well, exactly. So there you go. The Rangers are going to have to capitalize eventually on these power plays, Kotze. I think this is going to be.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy.
I think this is going to be the series that the Rangers are going to have to, capitalize on the power play. Because I will tell you this: Tampa's power play has been damn good in the playoffs, and I think these two teams are very evenly matched when it comes to scoring goals. Now, that's if everybody's going all cylinders and it's going to, act that way. But obviously Stamkos has only got 3 goals in the playoffs, but this guy is a dangerous detriment to any opponent and can break out at any time. Now, that being said, like you said, you got the Tyler Johnsons, you got a bunch of different layers. What do you think? You think 7 games this bad boy or what?
Oh, I don't want to say 7, but I think it's going 6 for sure.
You do?
I don't think it's going to be an easy series for anybody, to be honest with you. But you know what? I like the Rangers. I know it's biased and everything else, but you know what? They've come too far. They find a way. They've been there a little bit before, in this situation, more than Tampa has since, it's been a long time. Let's face it, it's been a long, long time since Tampa won a Stanley Cup, and there's nobody left on that team. So this is all new to them. Rangers have been there to the conference finals 3 years ago. They've been to the Stanley Cup final last year, and they're back in another conference final, and a lot of the guys are the same still. So, Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough series. I think both series probably might go the distance, and it could be just as tight as you just saw with the Washington series with the Rangers. Because, you know, really, I mean, that was a great series. I mean, as much as I despise Ovechkin, it was a great series to watch. I mean, it was close. Every game was close. Every game was a knuckle, white knuckle rider. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And think about it. Went to an overtime game in 7. So, you know, if we could have been on the show tonight, and I could have been biting my lip about everything I want to say about Alex Ovechkin. But fortunately for me, it played out the way I wanted it to. You know, he's done, and I'm happy he's done, and I'm happy the Rangers are moving on. And now, if you need to build up any kind of animosity, well, you got everything you want there. Slots didn't sign 3 guys; they left. Ryan Callahan pulled a boner and didn't do what he wanted to do contract wise here. And Stroman left for big money, and Boyle left for, I don't know, a couple $100,000 more. You know what I mean?
And his wife.
And Marty St. Louis and the animosity that he had with Stevie Eisner. There's a lot of like inner stories inside the big story. So it's going to be fun.
So it's great to estimate. I mean, it's easy to assume at this point that we're probably in the first, I would say, first 3 games going to see Matt Hunwick.
You might even see a little Matt Zuccarello somewhere along the line there, Paul. You can get your Zuccarello jersey out again.
Yeah, I really hope so. I think they've missed.
It's possible. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not telling you for sure.
Yeah,
but it's possible.
I think they miss him offensively. I think they miss him as a spark plug in a lot of different ways, but. You know, again, they're getting it done, and it's a lot of the role players that are doing it. Aside from Stepan, you know, I think Stepan has really elevated his game in a lot of different ways. But, you know, this series, I don't know, man. This series, I really don't know. I just don't know. I feel really good for the Rangers' chances. But I think it's really detrimentally important that the Rangers take advantage of home ice and take advantage of having the first 2 games at home. I'd like to see the Rangers score early in these games. The Rangers have proven that if they could put the puck in the net early, they usually find a way to win the hockey game. And the other thing is you know, they really got to utilize home ice. So, let's see. I feel good with their chances. And, you know, 6 games, I think, is the safe call. But, you know, I'm really hoping that the Rangers could kill this thing in 5.
Well, I'm hoping 4, but it's probably not going to happen. I mean, it's just, you know, it's hockey. You got to go out there and play. And we'll find out. And I agree with you. Home ice is going to be important here. You know, Tampa proved that they could win on the road throughout the playoffs. I mean, they actually, I think, won more road games in that first series than home games against Detroit, did they? Or something pretty close to it anyway. So they won a few games up in Montreal, that's for sure. So the Rangers got to beware. Tampa's going to be coming, and they're going to be ready. And they're going to be fully confident because they did beat them all 3 games they played this year. So. They'll have the confidence. Up to the Rangers to take it away from them, play their game. It's up to the Rangers. Listen, this is up to the, I truly believe the Rangers are a better team totally, but you still have to go out and prove it. You know, that's the bottom line.
Right. I agree. Well, the game starts Saturday at what, 1:00, and then we'll check the schedules and, you know, we'll see what we're going to be able to bring forward as far as future podcasts with the show.
Yeah, I hope we can get at least one in next week sometime. I know it's Saturday, Monday, Rangers play at home. So
Saturday, Monday, Wednesday.
Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, so maybe Tuesday.
Yep.
You know, maybe not. We don't know yet.
I will say this now. before I let everybody go, and I need people to give me feedback, okay? And I know how this is going to go, and it could be fun. I can go to the games. Now, here's the thing.
Go.
Listen to me. Here's the thing. This is tough for me, okay? I can go to the games. Here's the problem. I don't have a winning record at all when I go to the games. I've only seen the Rangers win.
Don't even start. Don't start. You're not going, period. don't even explain yourself. Sit home. Open up a bag of Cheetos or something.
Yeah. So that's my dilemma, man. I mean, I want to go see my damn team, you know? I mean, come on, I want to go see them. But then my heart says, dude, I can't take it. Here's the thing. This is the promise I'm going to make. This is it. If the Rangers win the first two games at home, I'm going to game three. If they lose one of the two games, I'm not going to game three. But I can't promise I'm not going to game seven. I'll have to see. I don't know. I can't go to game seven. Game six.
Game seven's up here, big boy. You better get out of here and start walking now.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's where my dilemma is. I want people to tell me what they think. I would love to go see the game. I could probably sit in – actually, I can go sit in a luxury suite. I have a horrible record. So – I don't know what I'm going to do because I would much rather watch it on TV and watch them win than see them in person and watch them lose. So, you know, that's been my record, unfortunately. And the Rangers, you know, but that's all regular season now, you know. It's probably because they come in the night before, they play some golf, they get a tan, they hit the pool, you know, because they're in Tampa.
Well, you know. Listen, they ain't gonna be doing any of that this time, that's for sure.
Exactly. So we'll see, and I'll let you know on my adventures of what I decided. It really depends on how well they're playing and what's going on. So if it's you know, game four and it could be a sweep, I might not be able to help myself. So we'll see what happens. But with that being said, Kotz, I probably can't do Tuesday. I probably would have to push it to Thursday. If you can't do Thursday, we'll get it figured out from there. Otherwise, I mean, it's been a great show. It's been a great night. We got about a minute left to go here.
I finally let loose.
Yeah. I mean, you feel like you're 10 pounds lighter. I know that. Listen,
I'm just wild. I was just wild when he hit McDonough that night. I was like, are you kidding me? No penalty, no nothing. But that's what they'll say. It's the good Alex. Wow, did you see how physical he was? Did you see the hit that he had? And I'm like, yeah, it's a charge, it's a boarding, and it's a hit from behind. Which one do you want? But no, it's what a great hit. I'm sick of it.
He's a suckwad, and he's going home, and he can think about it all summer long, baby.
Summer long.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Anyway, for Kotze and myself, we want to thank you for listening to the show. We'll keep you posted on what's going on. Other than that, man, it's been a lot of fun. A lot of biting nails and sweaty palms and like, oh my God! I said the other night.
There's more of that to come.
I don't need this aggravation. Anyway, it's always a pleasure. Kotz, I'll talk to you during the week. For everybody else,
ciao, baby.
Thanks for listening. Yeah, we'll talk to you next week right here, the Instigators Hockey Show. Thanks for listening.
Good night. Hey guys, this is Paulie D with the Instigators Hockey Show. With some exciting news. Now's your chance to advertise with us right here on the show. Whether it's a live read-in or a produced spot, this is the time to go top shelf and advertise with the Instigators Hockey Show. For more information, please email us at theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. That's theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. And drop the gloves on the competition.